in need of leadership. It is an important reality to recognize that even before the fall, even if the fall had not occurred, if sin had not entered into the world, we would still be in need of leaders. Not to combat evil or to put aside differences or to make sure that the people stay healthy or anything like that. All of that would not have existed. But we would have needed leaders to organize, to help keep us unified. Not that evil was in the world, but that we as human beings need to look to leaders to help guide us. And so even, especially after the fall, we are in need of leaders. And I think open your eyes to the reality of the world today. And did you know it's an election year? If you did, you're about to. Because it's everywhere. We are in need of leaders. And the way in which we look to leaders and put so much on our leaders shows how much we want them to be good leaders. An example of a leader, a very human leader, but an example of a leader is Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, especially during the battle over London, was one who emboldened and lived, he didn't necessarily say it, but that I'm sure you've probably seen the posters, "Keep calm and carry on." The reality that London was so threatened by the German Air Force that the people could have completely lost hope, scattered, and the country fallen apart. And yet he and other leaders were able to reassure the people that it's best to carry on, that it's dangerous, that people will be hurt and even killed, but we must continue to carry on. If it weren't for leaders like Winston Churchill during such a pivotal moment in human history, Lord knows what would have happened. It's this reality that we turn to leaders time and again throughout human history to help guide us in our darkest of moments. A quote of Winston Churchill that I just love is in reference to the Soviet Union. He said that it was like a riddle wrapped in a mystery hidden within an enigma. Wonderful. Almost like marriage, perhaps. Maybe. You all might have the key to that mystery. So they'll be around if anyone needs any help. And it's not, sisters and brothers, don't hear me make this connection, that the Soviet Union and the papacy and primacy of Peter are one and the same. It's that this quote from Winston Churchill about mystery, I think, is appropriate. Because when we are confronted by mystery, so much of what we want to do is solve it. What Winston Churchill was getting at is that he didn't understand the Soviet Union. They were an enigma. And yet, he was beginning to recognize that the West and the Soviet Union were going to be at odds for quite some time. He was trying to understand it. And we in the West can take a problem like the Soviet Union and automatically think that we need to solve it. All mysteries are not like that. Some mysteries are meant to call us to a deeper understanding, but we won't ever really understand it. Much like, ultimately, the Soviet Union was for the West. A similar mystery is the primacy of Peter. That Peter himself is a mystery. God made man, Jesus Christ, even though Peter got this question right, don't get me wrong, but just wait till next week, and literally, just wait till next week, and we'll see how bad Peter can get it wrong. But Peter, for this week, has gotten the question right, so the mystery remains, why Peter? Why would Peter be the one to which Christ leads his church? He swears that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And yet, why Peter? Especially, perhaps maybe, Mary. Mary's there. She's pretty awesome. Why is it Mary, the rock on which Christ would build his church? What is it about Peter? There is a mystery there that cannot quite be solved. But today's gospel, and actually all of our readings, help us to understand this reality a little bit. That the first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, talking about how the master of the house had failed. We don't know why he failed. We don't know what he did that he deserved his replacement. But in replacing him, the key of David was placed on his shoulder. Christ is hearkening back to this when he speaks of Peter having the keys of heaven. That Christ is bestowing upon Peter a role in his kingship. That the king of David, the descendant of David, the God of man, right there in front of him, is telling Peter, you have a role to play in this, and I trust you. Our second reading points towards the unknown ways of God, the way in which God can see within this very humble fisherman, someone on whom he will put his trust in to rule the kingdom of God, to begin this church, this family that he has come to start, that comes to begin. And with that, Christ lifts Peter up. He's not perfect. He's not perfect, and he knows that. There's three realities that we see amidst Peter that help us recognize the kind of leader that Jesus wants us to both be and to follow. He understands, he sees Jesus for who he is. You are the Son of God. You are the Word made flesh. He sees Jesus for who he is. He follows after him, and he's able to recognize when he is wrong. The difference between Peter and Judas is immense. The world is wrapped up in the agony and confusion of Judas, whereas Christ calls us to live the humility of Peter. There's a story about Peter that isn't biblical. You don't have to believe that it took place, but it's one of those stories that have been passed down from generation to generation about St. Peter. The story goes that when Peter was in Rome, nearing the end of his life, knowing that the emperor and the Roman officials were looking towards the church as someone to blame, let's crucify more of those Christians, let's kill more of those Christians, Peter got scared. We've seen this in the Gospels. We know this is part of Peter's story. Peter got scared and he walked away. And on the way out of Rome, he encountered Christ walking towards Rome. And Peter said, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, to be crucified once more. With that, Peter knew he couldn't continue on his way. He turned around and returned to Rome to be crucified upside down, mind you, for the name of Jesus, knowing that his Lord and Savior did not need to be crucified again, but it was for him to die for the one who lifted him up. Peter saw Jesus for who he was. Peter followed Jesus. And Peter admitted his humility. He lived through his humility. Let us recognize this great gift that is lived out in Pope Francis himself. This key of David working its way down one after the other, leading the church through ups and downs. It's a beautiful gift we have been given. The gift of humility and the gift of family. Today we celebrate that.